Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Are you here to learn something? As we go through the Word of God, you know it's not up to me if you learn anything.
Come on.
You know that, right?
You're just an instrument.
It is not up to me if you learn anything. It is up to you. And hopefully at some point this morning you said, Lord, I'm going to hear from you today. Because if you came to hear from God, you will hear from God.
Amen.
Amen. So what book are we in?
First Timothy.
I sure do miss Isaiah. Huh?
Yep.
But I want you to notice, I want to tell you something. Isaiah has changed me.
Yep.
It has. As we went through Isaiah and we've seen all the things that God said that were going to happen before they happened. Not just once, not just twice, but hundreds of times. And he mentioned the name Cyrus, and he talked about before it happened that the 10 northern tribes would be taken, and then up to the neck of Judah, you know, and then later that they would be taken as well by the Babylonians, and it would be King Cyrus who would release them.
By name.
Yeah,
like,
by
there's
name.
There's not much that we can say by name.
And you know, when Netanyahu was given a speech, I don't know if you guys pay attention to politics, but I do. And he was giving a speech, and he was talking to the Iranian people, not to the Iranian leadership, the Iranian people. He said he understands what slavery looks like, and he understands because King Cyrus let us out. He mentioned that dude. Mm-hmm. King Cyrus released us from captivity. Amen?
Amen.
So I knew exactly who he was talking about.
Yep.
King Cyrus. Anyway, man, God's in control.
Amen.
And that's what the book of Isaiah proves. Beyond any doubt at all, that book of prophecy, man. And I told you before that it was so accurate that the only way people could talk against it was say that it was written before it happened. After it happened. All right, we're going to get back into 1 Timothy. And I don't know where we're going to go next as far as after John. I will tell you guys I want to be off for a couple weeks when I move, so just keep that in mind. Chris is going to fill in for me. I will be absolutely out of pocket for one Sunday, and then I'll be here, but he'll be filling in. And I do that because, A, I need to take some time off.
Amen.
And not because I don't love what I do, but you can get burnt out. We all do.
Jesus took time off.
Amen. So... No, I'm not burning out. I'm not burning out. But you do this to keep from
exactly.
to keep from burning out. And if you guys know me, and most of you here in this group know me, I don't miss much time.
Come on.
Huh?
Nope.
In the last 2 years, I've missed two Sundays. Can anybody tell me what I was doing on those two
fishing,
Sundays?
Fishing.
So I think it's, you know, I'm a loyalist. You know, I worked at the same company for 21 years, and I missed one day. One day I missed in 21 years, and I was pretty down and out on that one day. Amen? I'm just a loyalist sometimes to a fault. Yes. Yes, to a fault. So anyway, I love the Lord. I love what I do. Make no mistake about it. I hope you guys don't mind if Chris fills in for me.
Nope,
I think Chris does a good job. He's not a verse-by-verse guy, but, you know, your verse-by-verse guy will be back, Lord willing.
Yeah.
Unless my wife and I kill each other in this move.
It's building
well,
a house.
That's likely.
Together.
That is a possibility.
Moving together.
All right, let's pray, and then we'll get back into the Word. Father, we just come before you, Lord. We thank you just for the opportunity to be here, Lord. And Father, I thank you before we even got here, you were here waiting on us, Lord. So I thank you for being here. I thank you for your spirit being within us, Lord. And well, your word says two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst, Lord. So I know you're here with us. Help us, Lord, to learn something today. Help us to see you, Lord, to see your truths, your principles, your values, your morals, and the messages that you have for us here in 1 Timothy. Just know we love you, Lord. I thank you for each person here this morning who can hear my voice.
Yes.
It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we're going to continue into 1 Timothy. Has anybody read ahead?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, whatever we're going to be going over, read ahead. And you say, well, I read ahead last Sunday. Well, read ahead like Saturday. You know, you don't got to read a lot because we don't cover like...
2 or 3 verses.
He knew that.
Bam.
I can speed up.
There's only about 20 verses.
Let the Holy Spirit lead you.
Except for the days when you cover 50 verses.
Yes, and we have done that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have done that. So, but you, generally you know where we're going. We're going to be in 1 Timothy, and then next service we're going to be finishing up John 20 and going into John 21, and the next week we'll be finishing up John chapter 21, and we'll be finishing John next week. That'll be 38 weeks. 38 weeks.
Oh, wait, this week and next week.
Oh. Yep. 38 weeks it took us to go through... The book of John, 21 chapters. But, man.
It doesn't feel that
long. Huh? It doesn't feel that long. Time seems to just be irrelevant when you're going through the Word of God, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But those of you who have been here since day one, you know how many books we've put the into. Matter of fact, we've done probably all of them, and we've already started over.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm praying about it now, but I'm not thinking about doing 1 or 2 Samuel in the Bible study, but I'm thinking about maybe preaching through 1 and 2 Samuel. I'll get back to you on that. But I'll let you know, but we'll see what God wants to do. What book is wrong?
Nothing.
Right?
Whatever he leads you to.
Whatever, you know, whatever book is we open up and go through, God is honored by that.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So I encourage you guys to read ahead because sometimes I need help. Figuring stuff out. You know, we had a missing piece Wednesday, if you were here.
That was awesome.
And Pat had the missing piece. That's why, because he read ahead. He did some studying. We put this together. We do it together. Yeah. Amen. You've never heard me say I got all the answers. Amen. If you ever hear any pastor say he's got all the answers, yeah. You find a different church.
Right. Any pastor, any teacher.
or call him Jesus, right? Amen. Man, so we do this together, but if you read ahead, I promise you, you'll get so much more out of it. And you may have a peace that we need.
Yep.
God may have given you that peace that we need. Amen. All right, so we only covered like 4 verses last week, I believe. But I want to just reread through these because there's only 4, and plus it really helps lay the foundation moving forward.
It matters.
It matters. Yes, it matters. So the first thing we're going to see in verse 1 and 2 is the author is going to be identified, as well as who he's writing it to or the recipient that he is writing it to. So the author is Paul. I gave you all the background about that last week. I believe it was written from Macedonia after he was released from his first prison in Rome. Amen? All right, Paul, and I love this, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the command of God our Father and our Savior, Jesus, our hope.
Amen.
Anytime you see the word hope in the Bible, what does it mean? Huh?
Hope in the resurrection?
It means expectation. We don't hope as the world hopes.
No.
Oh, I hope that happens. No. My hope, and the hope that the Bible has here, is an expectation.
Yes.
When I use the word hope, I am meaning expectation. I don't hope Jesus is going to keep his promise. I expect Jesus to keep his promise. Not because it's because of me or who I am, but because of who he is.
A good example might be, I hope that Jesus will return.
Yes,
like that's,
yes.
Like we know
yes.
that Jesus
yes, but I
will.
Hope he will return soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't
so
it also a synonym for like faith sometimes?
Yes.
My hope,
yes.
My faith is in Christ.
Yes, Christ. Absolutely. It's an expectation.
Trust.
Yes. Trust.
Trust.
Yes. Yeah. So we don't hope. The biblical hope and the world hope, two different hopes.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Just like everything else, biblical and spiritual or worldly is different. To Timothy, my true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. We talked about that word mercy last week, how it's in every other epistle except for, I mean, it's not in any other epistle except for the last 3 books he wrote, 1 Timothy, Titus, and 2 Timothy. here, Paul, and this is important because when I read through this book, these verses right here that we're fixing to read carry through the whole book. And what I'm trying to show you here is that Timothy didn't really want to be in Ephesus.
No.
Amen?
No.
It was a daunting task to what he had to do in Ephesus. Amen? But of one thing Paul was sure of, God wanted him there. Mm-hmm. Paul wanted him there because God wanted him there. Amen? All right, we'll see that here in verse 3 and 4. As I urged you, when you look that word up, it says compelled.
Yeah.
It's command. It's even when I looked that word up, and you know, sometimes when you look up the word in the original language, you got 10 different, right? Like deaconess or servant, right? And it also not only compel and command and urge, but beg. Mm-hmm. It also had the word beg in there. So I want you to see, if Paul has to do that, then Timothy's having some reservations about doing it. Isn't it cool to God has called Timothy to Ephesus. Timothy's unsure, that's to say the least, but he here comes this strong Christian person beside him to encourage him. Yes. It's just a beautiful picture, man. It's just a beautiful picture. All right, so he says, I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or to devote themselves to myths or fables and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. Amen? All right, so that's why we need to read that. It's going to be really understandable here as we get into this next one, because in beginning in verse 5, and we'll read through 7, we're going to see the purpose of this command. And it is kind of foggy, so I want your opinion on it. I have mine, amen, based on the context and the setting and who's writing and who the recipient and who the author and all that is. But I want your opinion on it. So the goal of this command, let's first decide what command is that.
To stay there and deal with certain people.
Yes, yes. The command, if you'll go back, it says, stay there in Ephesus, just like you said, and that you may command certain people to stop teaching false doctrine.
Yeah.
Not only false doctrine, but quit devoting yourselves to endless genealogies and fables and myths.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right? That's the command. That's the command. So the goal of this command is what?
Love.
So if you're going to, I want you to think about that, because this is going to kind of open up into, give us a peek behind what he's really talking about. And I think what he's talking about here, as we'll see, is legalism.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, follow me here.
Yes.
Legalism is ugly.
Yes. Most religion.
Ugly. You know, let's say for a moment somebody came in here and they were dressed like they shouldn't have been, but they're here. Come on.
Yeah.
Yep. You know what you do? You love them. You love them. Amen? You don't tell them you can't be here or anything like that. You know, we've had that happen here.
Yep.
You know what you do? You love them.
Amen.
You love them. That's what you do, man. You don't, there's some places that they wouldn't even be allowed.
Yeah.
But you are allowed here. Amen. And we'll love you. As long as everything's covered, we love you. If not, we got a blanket. We'll cover you up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because you're going to be cold.
Because you're going to be cold here, right? All right. So the goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith.
Amen.
I hope you guys can understand what he's talking about.
You have to have all three.
Yes.
We have to.
Yes. Yes. It says, some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law. Think about that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that gives us an insight, doesn't it?
A legalism.
Yes. These people were Christians, but they want to be what? They still want to have some semblance or some hold on or some part of the law.
Yeah.
In their lives. So it gives us a little bit of an idea here that they may be dealing with legalism or parts of the law that people just want to hang on to. Amen? But they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen? All right. So the purpose of the command is what? Love. Love from what? A pure heart, right? So the purpose of the command was not to say you can do this and you can do that and you can't do this and you can't do that. That's not what it was about. It was about coming from the heart, because Paul knew that if he could get Timothy to understand this, that he wouldn't come across sounding
harsh
or judgmental. You know, we can do that.
Okay.
We can do that, but this is a picture of how we should speak the truth in what? It matters, man. It matters. Because I always tell you, if somebody knows you care about them, truly care about them, and truly love them, then they'll listen to you.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
They will. You have opened up a door and given them an opportunity to listen to them. Amen? So this they want to be teachers of the law. This gives us an idea now of something legalistic type, Jewish law-ish type here. What's going on, don't you think?
Yeah, it reminds me of when, was it Acts where Peter had to be shown, was it twice, three times,
yes.
The meat on
yeah.
the sheep, right?
Yeah.
Like, God
coming down out of heaven,
yes,
every
right.
unclean animal.
And, like, really?
Yeah.
You can eat
yeah.
these
yeah.
things.
Yeah. So why three times?
Because Peter needed it three
get
times.
It twice.
That's how staunch they were in believing
yes.
that kind of stuff. But what's really unusual about that is, right after that vision that he had, Gentiles yeah. knocked on his door.
Amen.
And God said, go with them.
Yep.
Had that vision not happened,
there's
a good yeah. chance Peter would not mm-hmm. have, man, God is so good.
Amen.
Amen. He'll set you up for success if you are listening.
Correct. And he'll
Amen.
Come again and again if you need that too.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, sometimes can be hard-headed, yes.
You know, and given that information that you were just talking about, whenever he first saw that vision, Peter's first exclamation was, not so, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that.
He said, I will not eat anything that is unclean. And God said, whatever I have declared clean,
exactly.
let no man declare
Amen.
Unclean.
Amen.
Amen.
That includes you, Peter.
That includes you, Peter. All right, so legalism, what does legalism do? It makes us twist the word of God. And instead of showing love, like Pat said, we show judgment, or we're harsh in our judgment. So instead of having a good conscience, listen, we always feel condemned. I think that's where legalism comes from. We always feel condemned because we don't feel like we measure up. Well, I got some news for you. We can't measure up.
Well, and again,
we don't measure up.
I mentioned this last week. I can't imagine a world where being under the law is all you know. This is just the beginning of grace.
Yes.
And like trying to wrap your mind around what that really means. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's hard.
Some of us still have problems.
Yes.
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 Yes. But you know what? I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
Because we can work these things
yeah,
out,
absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely.
Because, listen, the path to joy may not be as easy for you as it is for me. I'm just telling you. Right?
Yep.
Because we've lived different lives. We
yes.
have different thinking. We have different personalities. The joy, the path to peace may not be as easy. Listen, my path to no anger was not easy. Amen? Maybe yours was.
Yeah.
We all have different paths because we have a different makeup. But I want you to know there is a path to everyone.
Amen.
Because God has made a path there.
Yeah.
Yes.
The question is,
will you accept? Will you surrender?
Will you do you want to really get there?
Yeah.
Some of us didn't know how far down the path we were, how long it's going to take to get back.
Yeah. Yes. But to speak to that, Don, sometimes I think I'm a long ways from something, then all of a sudden,
boop,
I move one
is.
Thing and there it is, man.
Yeah.
Huh? Amen?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you.
Now.
Sometimes I even run right past it.
He'll throw it at you.
Huh?
Well, you know, when you put this in the, like, when he's talking to the legalist here, and, you know, what they don't realize is the law was designed to show us
Jesus.
That
we couldn't
that
it.
We, they, yeah, that we can't, you know, we can't fulfill it. They looked at it as, oh, I can do this,
yeah.
I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. But 613, there's no way. The law was designed to show us that we can't fulfill.
You can't even keep one.
Yep.
Has anybody in here never lied? I think in the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not bear false witness.
Yeah.
Is there anybody in here never lied? Never lied.
If they say yes, they're lying.
Boom! And Paul's going to get into that in depth here in this chapter as well. So, and instead of, when we don't have a sincere faith, here's what that means. Here's what he's talking about. It's when we put our trust in our own ability,
come on,
rather than in God's ability.
Amen.
We're all guilty of that, man. We're all guilty of that. Let me ask you this. We want to please God.
Yeah.
Here's what I want you to know. Prior to my salvation, I never pleased God.
No.
I did not. Did you?
No.
After your salvation, do you please God?
No. Try every day.
But you have an opportunity to.
Yes.
Whereas before, you didn't.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the difference?
You're trying. Jesus.
The Holy Spirit.
That's the difference.
Amen.
That's the difference. Come on, you got God living inside you now, whereas you didn't before. You could not please him no matter what you did before, but now, with the Holy Spirit, you have all the tools, whether you want to admit it or not. What is the tools? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You got them all.
In God's eyes, you are perfect. Your spirit that you were given brand new, in God's eyes, is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Only through the blood.
Now, our soul fights with that spirit, but it's perfect in God's eyes. That's why we can go to him, because of what Jesus did.
Yeah.
We can communicate one-on-one.
Yes. You remember last week in John, Jesus said, as the Father is sending me, I am sending you. And then what's the very next thing he did? Anybody remember?
Breathed on him.
And gave him the Holy Spirit, because he knew that you cannot please God or accomplish anything that God has given you to do without the Holy Spirit. What did he say in John 15:5? He said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Without me,
you can do nothing.
How much?
Nothing.
Not a zero. Zilch.
Man. All right. So it says meaningless talk. A lot of people have abandoned this and turned to meaningless talk. So what is that? Meaningless talk is speculations, opinions about the scriptures. That's what I'm assuming he's talking about here. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's also, if they talk enough about it from their own perspective, they'll talk themselves into believing something that's not true.
You are absolutely right about that, Hal. Amen?
Like clanging cymbals.
Yes. We can convince ourselves of anything, right?
Oh, yeah.
Don't believe me. I got a motorhome story I can tell you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? We can. We can.
Well, we can do it with God's word all day long. I think we try to catch ourselves, like I think of him in that Psalms, right? 83 or whatever it was. It says, arguing about trivial details in the Bible can send us off in interesting but irrelevant tangents and cause us to miss the intent of God's message.
Yes, that's what he's just saying here, because it takes people away to meaningless speculations, and it doesn't promote the work of God, which is by faith.
Yes.
Yes. So what I like about that is we don't argue here.
Mm-mm.
We don't. We just try to reason through
it.
And if it's a disputable difference, you get to believe what you want to believe, and I get to believe what I want to believe.
Yeah.
Amen? One of us is right. We'll find out in the end.
Yep.
Or neither.
Or neither. Or neither. Yeah. Or we're both wrong. So in the King James Version, I liked what it says, because here, meaningless talk, the New King James says idle talk. But in the King James, it says vain jangling. I like that. I say that to you because I want to put it in your mind, vain jangling, which really means just meaningless or idle talk. But vain, man, that's some vain jangling right there. You see the kind of a appeal that has, man? All right. The last part of that verse says, but they do not know what they are talking about, or what they so confidently affirm. It goes back to what Hal just said. These people had convinced themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they told themselves enough times that they've actually convinced themselves what this legalistic or whatever they wanted people to do. Amen. And he's going to give us a list of some things here in just a minute, too, as well. But Paul wanted them to know that these guys were saying these things and professed him to be true, but they didn't even know
what they were talking about.
What they were talking about, man. They didn't even know or understand the implications of what they were saying. You know, when I read that, I think, Lord, please do not ever let that be me.
Yeah. Well, amen. I think we've all seen very, very articulate people that just use big words and say absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, Obama was one of them.
Yes, absolutely.
I think there was a person running for president who did not win, who was very similar to that.
I don't think she was articulate, though.
No, she was not articulate. She didn't say any words, but did not say words.
Yes, yes, my goodness. Yes, I have to agree with you. That's one of the worst I've ever seen in my entire life. But I'm thankful for it. I am.
I think in verse 7, though, I mean, you know, when you put that in today's terms, I mean, think about, like, the Jehovah Witness that comes to your door. He might be able to rattle off some Bible verses and sound like he knows what he's talking about, which makes it easier to convince that person that doesn't know.
Yes.
But this is that verse because they really don't know what they're talking about.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, he's right about them, the Jehovah Witnesses, those Mormons. They know what to say. But listen, if you start giving them scripture, they're out of there.
Yeah.
They're out of there, man. Yeah. I just want you to know they're gone because they don't want to talk to anybody who actually knows the Bible.
Yeah. No, if you know the Bible, they don't want to talk.
Because they're conditioned only on certain points. A script. Yes. And listen, man, they've gotten a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They have taken a lot of people captive.
But that's exactly what's going on right here in Ephesus.
Yes.
Exactly.
They're trying to just reel them in.
Yep.
All right, verse 8 through 11. Now, here's what I want you to see. Paul's condemnation of legalism is not a condemnation of the law. All right, that's what he's saying.
There is a difference.
Yes, yes. And he says that right off the bat here in verse 8. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. Amen. Now listen. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, let me stop right there. Let me reread that. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous. Amen?
Yeah.
For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become
righteous.
So I am righteous, not in my own by any means. But I do have his righteousness, which comes through what? The Holy Spirit of God. So the law does not apply to me because it was not made, just said it, for
the righteous.
Now, prior to my salvation?
Yes. It was just for you.
Would it be fair for me to tell you, you are either under grace?
Yep.
Or under the law.
Absolutely.
There is no third option.
No.
You're either under grace or under the law.
Yep.
Praise God.
Amen.
For grace.
Amen.
Not just praise God for grace, but praise God I'm under it.
Yes.
Amen. I heard Wes Huff say, the law is in place to show you your sins, so stop trying to clean yourself with a mirror.
Absolutely. And he's going to talk about that too, man. Yep. It's in here. Nice to see a couple of you right ahead. Come on. All right. Let's go on with this list. So it's not made for the righteous, but it's made for lawbreakers and rebels and ungodly, the sinful, unholy, irreligious, those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers. But he just goes on and on, right? And then he says, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God.
Amen.
And Paul says, which he has entrusted to me. Amen.
Yep.
I like how at the end of number 10, he's like, and whoever else that is, think that they're on this list.
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah.
You didn't meet one of these criteria.
All right, man, he didn't. Oh, yeah, he did, because he said, anything else that was contrary to sound doctrine. And what we know here is Paul is encouraged Timothy, compelled Timothy to stay there to what? Make sure that sound doctrine was taught there and understood there, because he told him, command those people who are what? Teaching what? False doctrine. So sound doctrine is imperative.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's absolutely imperative. It's not something you might need.
Yeah.
It's something you must have.
Yep.
Amen?
And that's why Paul said that, because sound doctrine should automatically include everything. But when he went through this list, there's the legalist in their mind, don't do that. Yeah. And they're going down the list. And then he says, and any other thing that doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now you're like,
yeah, you're in there. We're in there.
You're in there.
Whatever your sin is, it is covered in whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. All right. So he says, we know that the law is good, he starts out with, if the law is used properly. So the purpose of the law, as Don pointed out, is to show us our sin.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the law was for. Now listen, what he's saying here is, the purpose of the law is to show us our sin, but not to lead us to righteousness.
Yeah.
Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
It shows us our sin, but the law doesn't lead us to righteousness.
Well, that's why they
that would
to
be legalism.
They had to atone for the. That's why they had to atone for the sins.
Yes.
It was only an atonement.
Yes.
You're not going to get righteous.
Yes.
You just atoned for them. You're still a sinner.
Yes. Did you want to say something, Mama Lynn?
No.
Okay.
I was agreeing with Hal. I stuck my thumb up. Sorry.
I want to read something to you that Paul says in Galatians, in chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. He said, before the coming of this faith, what faith?
Jesus.
Faith in Jesus. We were held in custody under the law.
Yes.
All right? Locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed.
Amen.
So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith.
Amen.
Now listen to this last part. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That is beautiful.
Thank you.
That is beautiful. Amen. All right, so the law was not made for a righteous person. Is that what Paul said?
Yeah.
Listen up. I want to read to you a verse here, but the law was not made for a righteous person because the righteous walk by faith. That's what he just said in Galatians chapter 3. We're no longer under the guardian of the law because now we walk by
faith.
Amen. Listen to what he said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God.
Amen.
Why? Because the righteous will live by faith.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What do you live by?
Faith.
Faith.
And what Jesus did on that cross.
Yeah, so let's go back to what Pat was saying a minute ago, because now some of these people are trying to live by both.
Yep.
Right? They're trying to implement parts of the law
to suit them
or into their faith. Amen? And listen, that just won't work.
Mm-mm.
You got your theology's messed up.
Well, then Jesus wasn't good enough. He wasn't the perfect sacrifice. Come on,
Tracy.
Amen. All right, so it says it wasn't made for the righteous, but it was made for the lawbreakers, the rebels. I'm not going to go through the whole list, the ungodly, the irreligious, the unholy, the homosexuals, and all that. It was made to show them their sin.
Yep.
Amen, which was once you and I.
Yep.
So if the law showed us our sin prior to our salvation, what shows us our sin now?
Holy Spirit.
You know how important that Holy Spirit is?
Yes.
You guys know what I'm talking about. He works. He is on the job. He doesn't let me get away with anything.
Nothing.
Amen.
I was going to say very much, but he don't let me get away with nothing, even though I still get away with stuff because I do it anyway. Come on.
Yep.
Free will.
Yep.
Right? Come on. You guys, anybody in here saying they listen to the Holy Spirit every single time? There's no premeditated sin in your life? Huh? Quit it.
You can definitely hear the Holy Spirit whenever you're in the middle of you premeditating.
Remember what the Bible says you can do to the Holy Spirit? Remember three things?
Quench it.
Quench it.
Grieve it.
Grieve it.
Yeah. One more. Come on.
Encourage it.
No.
Totally.
Resist. Grieve and quench. So if you're wanting to do something, the Holy Spirit's telling you not to, you can quench it.
Yeah.
You have that ability. I just want you to know.
Yeah.
And when you do, you grieve it.
Come on.
Yeah.
Because you have resisted it.
Yeah.
Amen. And we're all guilty of that. Don't let anybody here take your halos off.
Come on.
Amen. Because if you can do it on your own, Jesus wouldn't have to come.
Amen.
Man, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought, the Bible says in Romans 12:3.
God will show you.
God will show you, man. Hey,
Doesn't the Bible say that what we think we know is filthy rags?
He says, in Isaiah 64, he says, our greatest works are as filthy rags.
And that we've never achieved it. We got to keep on growing spiritually.
Amen. Amen. That's the whole goal right there, isn't it, Hal?
Yeah. Sir.
To every day get. When I say grow spiritually, what I'm talking about is getting closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because that is growing spiritually.
Amen.
And the way you do that, of course, is through a fervent prayer life and an absolute reading of the Word, because the Word is what's going to set you free.
Renewing your mind daily.
When I read that, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, it's almost like the world's trying to hold you back. Right? But the more truth that you learn, the more the world has to let go, because now you know the truth. And the more he lets go, the closer you get to God.
Come on. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I mean, just like we stuttered in Zechariah, right? We will be tested. These people were tested through the fire.
Yes.
That what we have and what we've learned and what we know has to go through that fire.
Yes.
Has to.
Yes. And you know, going through the fire, how you react and act in the fire is going to determine you know,
you get to do it again.
Where you are spiritually. Come on, man. Yeah. What is the purpose of the fire? To make you better.
More like Jesus,
man.
Yep.
Listen, we all been through. Some of y'all might be in the fire right now. Just hang on.
Yep.
Huh?
Yep.
Hang on. Rejoice, I say again, rejoice.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Learn what God's trying to show you. It'll come out stronger.
Amen.
All right. All right, so the idea, you know, when I look at that, I say, it's not, the idea isn't that the law has nothing to say to me, but I do realize that it especially is speaking to the ungodly and the irreligious. Amen?
Yeah.
Because the law does have something to say to me.
Well, it shows you how wretched you really are.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, you can't do it.
Absolutely.
And because they're still under the law. Until they're saved, they are under the law, and all of that pertains to them.
Yeah.
And until they are receive the Holy Spirit, then they are under the law.
Yeah. You know, and something that I never thought about when I was studying for this is, you know, the law, like Pat said, there's 613 of them. And in order for you to be in fellowship with Jesus or fellowship with God, you'd have to keep them all.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so not only does the law, because the law is a list of things that you would have to do in order to be righteous before God.
Right.
Which no one could keep. Am I right?
Yes. Yeah.
But it also, to me, when I read through this time, spoke to me about the holiness of God.
Amen.
That there would be so many high jumps and so many barriers that you would have to get over that you could never get over to be,
you will never be
close to this holy God.
Amen. Yeah.
Unless Jesus came and did what Jesus did. And listen, all them barriers, including the veil and the temple, all
gone.
Man.
I love
isn't that beautiful?
I love when Paul says, we know that the law is good if one uses it properly.
Yes.
Because Jesus also said, I didn't come to abolish the law.
That's
I came
right.
to fulfill it.
Yes, that's right. That's a great point, Pat, because nobody could keep the law. But Jesus kept every 613 parts of that law.
Yep.
For his entire life on earth.
For his entire life on earth.
Not just one second.
Yeah. So again, it points to the holiness of God, that he could keep all of those things.
Yep.
Amen. And it says also, I was tempted in every way you were tempted.
Yep, he was.
Amen. All right, so in Paul's mind, when I read through this, here's what he's saying. Sound doctrine and biblical morality or biblical moral conduct are absolutely connected.
Yes.
Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
When sound doctrine is taught, with it, moral conduct is also taught. And it should be received as that way.
Amen.
Amen?
Yep.
Does it mean it's going to make you all of a sudden this perfectly moral person?
No.
No. But it is going to give you an understanding to where you fail or are failing morally.
And it gives you your...
Yeah.
Me?
Somebody.
Well, it takes me back to Deuteronomy 28 and 29. If you obey the laws, there's blessings.
Yeah.
And if you disobey, there's curses.
Yes.
And the blessings are smaller than the curses.
Yes.
And you'll never forget that.
So why would God have to say, if you obey the law, there's blessings, and if you don't obey the law, there's cursings? Why didn't he just say, obey the law and you're going to be fine?
Because you need to understand what happens when you don't.
They couldn't. Yeah.
Well, the law shows you like that those moral, you know, the standards that you should have in loving God, that you're not going to do this other thread.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as the example.
Yeah. And even more than that, it reminds me, there's no way I can keep it.
Well, but to know what it is. Okay, now I'm a believer. You know, like assuming in the very beginning, you know, like, okay, I just heard the message, I believe. You know, now what? And that gives you the basis for what you should be doing and what you should be not doing as you're moving forward. Kind of?
Sure.
No?
You want to relate on that? Because you lost me.
Well, okay, because you said you get your moral compass.
From the sound doctrine.
From
the
sound doctrine. Yeah. But in the very beginning, I don't really know anything.
Mm.
And so I'm looking at the law, kind of established my sound doctrine, because those are the things that I still should, now I'm saved by grace, but those are still things that are not sound to do.
Okay.
Is that a stretch?
Yeah.
It is?
No.
Okay. Well, that's the establishment of my sound, you know what I'm saying? Never mind.
What's the commandments, Ken? The Ten Commandments?
You establish a blueprint.
Didn't that sort of overrule the old laws?
No.
No, it's part of the law.
No, it is the law.
Well, yeah, it is the law. Yeah, it's part of the law. When Moses came down, he had the law and the commandments.
Mm-hmm. So he had a whole lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, the Ten Commandments is part of the law.
It makes me think of, it doesn't say it in the Bible, but I think it presumes it, of how long the devil sat there and probably threw every law at him to try to get him to break one of them. So,
well, we see that in Matthew chapter 4
when
he takes him into the wilderness. He just wants him to do just one time.
Yeah.
Just do one thing.
Bombarding him with 613 laws just nonstop. And see if he can trip him up.
You can't trip him up.
Nope.
All right. You ever notice how, and we're talking about legalism here, right? So, you ever notice how some people will condemn anyone with standards.
Yes.
Come on.
Especially higher standards. Come on.
Who do you think you are?
Right? As being a legalist.
Yep.
Sometimes just because you or I, we want to follow the law, we want to be obedient to the law, people look at us and say, man, why you got to be so legalistic?
Or they call us a try-hard.
Huh?
A try-hard.
Not yeah, really. A try-hard. You know, Bible thumper. Bible fanatic. Yeah, man. Yeah. Listen, having standards, especially biblical standards, or having morals, especially biblical morals, do not make us legalists. All right? We are legalists when we think that what we are doing makes us righteous before God.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's a legalist.
Yeah.
When you think that what you're doing makes you righteous before God, that goes back to what Hal said. Your best righteousness is as filthy rags. That's a legalist, because they think because of what they're doing that that somehow makes them righteous before God. Only one person can make you righteous before God, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So you have them high standards. You have them high standards of moral. You have them high values, biblically speaking, of course. And I don't, you know, don't let other people make you feel bad for having them.
Amen. Nope.
Amen.
Peer pressure. We talk about peer pressure all the time. Who
but
cares?
At the same time,
don't lord it over.
Don't be that love. What are you talking about? Exactly. The command comes out of love. Amen. From a pure heart. Mm-hmm. Amen. Somebody says, well, you Bible bubble and you know, I'm gonna say, yeah, I do this because I want to please my Lord.
Amen.
That's why I did.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
And that should be in every one of us, our heart. Nothing. You, anyone around you, whoever you love and whatever, whatever you do should be based on, is God approving of it?
Yes.
Or is he not?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Should we or shouldn't we, based on the Bible? And the Holy Spirit will help you with that. Yeah, no.
I just got a quick question. Something I was kind of curious on, and I've been debating with this with a few strangers on the WWE. people that will post something or say something like to try to convict or stir the hearts of another believer. And then I kind of will say, I don't know if that approach is right, just in a soft way. So it's like, I don't understand that approach. I don't think that Christ would approach you and condemn and convict you for something you're doing. And I don't think that this is the way that we should portray this to someone else. We should make them aware, but not condemn. And then that got a lot of negative feedback.
Oh, yeah.
So I just kind of was curious as to your thoughts on like how we condemn our own, how we correct. And I think that's a very fine line or gray area sometimes, because people get so offended.
You can't do it online, that's for sure.
I mean, it's hard to do it online because, A, people can't see your face, they don't understand your tone.
They don't know who you are.
They don't know who you are. Really what that does, it opens up for, now the people can, regardless of what emotional state they're in, that's the way they're going to take your post. Mm-hmm. So it's, you got to be very delicate in that when you're talking with people
that's
online.
What
I'm saying,
yeah.
Here's what I do, Dawn. I always thank them, right? I thank them, hey, thanks for talking to me about this. You know, maybe we don't agree, maybe we do agree, but this is what the Bible says. And, you know, I just try to use words that would communicate to them that I'm not above them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen? Progress the conversation.
Yes. And, you know, there's some people who are diametrically opposed to me, but I always tell them, hey, I appreciate you talking to me about this. You know, I appreciate you.
That's called
you
in love.
And then I use Bible. I don't say Jesus said this. I say in John 14, verse whatever. I don't want it to be hearsay. I don't want it to be thrown out there. I want it to be biblical verses. They can go and look themselves. That'll help you. But like she said, it's hard to do it online. Especially with people you don't know.
Well, and I think what social media has done, right, is created this false power and strength in us that we would never do that face to face. Quit acting a fool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like throwing a grenade, you get to run away and be away from the explosion.
I can drop a bomb and walk away.
And these kids are doing it. That's called bullying. And they do it because they don't have to face that person. They don't have to look at the hurt in that person's eyes and the shame or whatever the case may be, so they can, then that makes them more powerful, and it's tearing our kids up.
So
parents ought to keep them completely away from that.
Social media, if you don't pay attention, you don't understand, it works on algorithms. Everybody know that?
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know what Autobots are?
Yep.
Autobots are out there, they're on every single social media page, and they're there to gain information about your posts.
Yep.
And those Autobots will automatically send you information that you want to hear.
Okay, now I know what you're talking about.
Are you hearing me? So that's why don't listen to people you don't know, because you don't even know if that person's real. They're just trying to convince you or indoctrinate you or teach you something different. That's why if I'm on social media, I listen to people that I know, that I trust. Mm-hmm. I listen to the senators, to the representatives, to people that I know and trust on there. Everything else to me, if I don't know them, is
don't
a bot.
Push like.
I just assume it's a bot trying to convince me of something
is
not true.
And it only based on that, right? They're instigating you to use their platform even
yes.
more.
Yes.
Right? I mean, there is a purposeful, intentional, deliberate purpose behind what's going on.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's not good. It's not good.
If you want to know something, if somebody tells you something that, say, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, said, if you're on social media, why aren't you following him? Mm-hmm. Follow him. And he'll tell you if he said it.
Yeah.
Or he'll say it. Amen? Or mm-hmm. John Thune, who leads the Senate. Or Ted Cruz. Or John Cornyn, which we're going to vote out this year, right?
Amen.
Yeah. Boy, y'all do know John Cornyn, don't you? Huh?
You know, that's, Don asking that question and then us talking through that, that's exactly what
yes.
Paul is doing with Timothy.
Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly what this book is about.
That's right, you know, man. Yeah.
Paul, you know, commanded Timothy, you know, hey, here's what you got to do. Here's how you got to handle these people because they're here, you know.
Yes.
And
you've
you
been called for this.
You got to do it in love.
Yes.
This is what they're going to teach. And,
and as we'll see in this chapter, there was actually prophecies
yep.
about him, about for Timothy to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think some of the evil principalities of our time are online trying to put doubt in people,
absolutely.
In Christians and their walk.
Absolutely.
And doubt.
Yes. Absolutely.
And just referring back to what Pat was saying, and through the word that you are speaking right now, that same message is being put out to us today.
Amen. Amen. Sound doctrine.
That's the way God works.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So would it be fair to say that there was an apparent sinful environment going on in Ephesus? Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely.
Especially regarding this list that he mentions.
Yes.
And I want to show you something, because that's another reason why it was so important for Timothy to stay in Ephesus.
Yeah.
Remember, Paul planted this church. Yep. Paul spent 3 years at this church. Amen. It was a solid rock when he left.
Yeah.
Amen. And I want you to remember, too, on his second missionary journey, when he was coming back through, he met with the elders of Ephesus in Malthus. Yes, called him out to Malthus to go meet him. And he said, when I leave, I know that savage wolves are going to come in and teach you false doctrine. Mm-hmm. He warned them even.
Yep.
And here it is. But God had a plan for that.
Amen.
And that plan was Timothy.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be a Timothy. And you may, when God calls you to do something, say, I'm not worthy. I can't do it. It's too hard. Listen, all those are true. All those are true. Because you're not doing it in your own strength. It ain't about you.
Come on.
It's about him.
About you.
And accomplishing
absolutely.
That for him. Amen. I was talking, me and Yvonne was talking this morning. We talked just about small stuff, about things we do for God, the fellowships we do for God. And I say, listen, all I want to do is whatever we do here at New Life, honor God.
Amen.
That's what I want to do. I want to honor God. I want everything we do to lift up and honor
yes.
God and the Lord
Amen.
That we serve. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I want, and that's what I want you to want.
Amen.
Amen? All right. So, though the law cannot bring righteousness, it says there at the end, the glorious gospel of the blessed God can. Amen?
Yep.
So, a gospel that, in the words of Paul, he says here at the end, was entrusted to him.
Amen.
Right?
Woo!
Man,
that's crazy.
He sensed, he understood mm-hmm. the responsibility
yeah.
that God had given him. But listen, when you read this all together, and I hope you did, you see the honor that he feels in God entrusting
he's like convicted
this gospel to him. Yes.
Yeah.
Man. And you know what? He understood the responsibility he had to preserve it.
Yeah.
And not just preserve it, but to pass it on
Amen.
To people like Timothy and others.
Yeah.
On that same responsibility,
It's our responsibility.
Yeah, but to, yeah, when he did to Timothy.
It absolutely is our responsibility as well.
Amen.
All right. We better stop there because the next scene is pretty pretty important. But let's go before we close out. You got your Bibles?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I just want to read something to you, and we'll read it again next week, but we got 5 minutes left, and I want to read it to you. Galatians chapter 1. A lot of people don't know this about Paul, but I think it'll help you understand as we go into this next section next week how important it is. So tell me when you get there.
Galatians 1, you said?
Galatians chapter 1. You know, I always remember it because it's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. God's Electric Power Company. Amen?
Yep.
Those books, those are God's Electric Power Company, man. One. Galatians chapter 1, you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Verse 6. I am astonished that you, and he's writing this to the Galatians, all right? I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. I just want you to know that Paul faced this everywhere he went, which is really no gospel at all. You either have the true gospel or your gospel is no gospel, all right? Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? That is a huge statement.
Yeah.
Paul didn't care what people thought. He's not trying to win their approval. He only wanted the approval of one person.
Come on.
Amen? Yeah. And that was his God. Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ.
Amen.
That's what happens when those churches split.
So wait a minute, man. Are you saying, Paul is saying that if I'm a servant, I can't be a people pleaser too?
Correct. Yep.
Hello.
Isn't that the church today, though?
I did not come to bring division. I mean, bring peace, but I came to bring division. The truth will divide. All right, verse 11. This is where it gets hunky-dory. We're only going to read through 20. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man. I want you to think about that. You and I did. Somebody led us to Christ.
Amen.
I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Well, dang, Paul, how'd you get it? Hold on. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You talk about special.
Yeah.
Peter didn't lead him to Christ. John didn't lead him to Christ. The disciples didn't lead him to Christ. Jesus revealed the gospel to Paul through revelation himself.
Amen.
And it's on the road to Damascus.
Yeah.
Yep,
all right. Verse 13. For you have heard of my previous ways of the life of Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. All true.
Yep.
Paul came up under Gamaliel. He was a Jew among Jews. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb, wow. So all the time that Paul was being a persecutor, and he now realizes that God was still called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal to me his son in me, pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles.
Amen.
My immediate response was not to consult any human being.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Wow. Come on, man. All right. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went to Arabia, and later I returned to Damascus. Verse 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I'm writing is not a lie.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I want you to know, a lot of people don't know this about Paul, but after the road to Damascus, you know, Jesus appeared to him and he said, "Hey, who are you?"
Yeah.
Jesus said, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." That Paul went to Arabia where Jesus revealed to him the gospel himself. Amen. Amen. That is a beautiful picture. That'll help as we get into the next, because Paul's going to talk about why he was entrusted with the gospel. Amen.
Jesus sent Ananias to him on a street called Straight.
Street called Straight. Amen. All right, we're halfway done.
I like it.
Huh?
It's good. I like
we didn't get very far.
It's okay.
That's good.
I thought Timothy would go quicker than this.
Well, you always think
Timothy
that.
Doesn't run real fast.
That's your flesh speaking.
All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for this time that you've given us. Thank you for this word that you've given us. Thank you for Paul. And Lord, thank you for Timothy and showing us really two sides of people, two sides of how people can be, how we can be, Lord. And Father, though we start out as a Timothy, Lord, our goal should be to end up as a Paul. Just help us to see that and help us to know that, Lord. Just know we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.